Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Okay, so let's see. All on my left. Let's see, anybody? Okay, on my right. Who is new? Ah, hello. Yeah, maybe you all could tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
Hello, yes. My name is Hui Wen. I got to know about this group through my colleague Xiu Ping.
Where's your colleague? Okay. Yes.
I brought my friend and then she brought a friend.
Oh, I see. And your friend, what is your friend's name? Your friend? Welcome. And you brought another friend. And what is your friend's friend?
Friend? My name is Hawking.
Hawking.
Not yet, later.
Welcome. Okay, let's see. Who else is new here today? Yes. Tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Yue Peng.
And
my mom told me about today. And this is my mom.
Hello, my name is Xiong Bin.
Sorry?
Xiong Bin.
Xiong Bin. Welcome. Okay. So, everything is in order. Can. So is it, so can now? Okay. Wash. She have the headset some more. Very professional. Look quite pro, huh? Okay, so today's topic, the perfection of giving. Projector is not my problem. My problem is to deliver Dharma talk. Why people be monk when other people are monk? They just come up, give talk, then no sound, then just like that, then perfection. I have to solve it myself now. No input. Bo? It's a setting over there.
This power and that power.
What? What this power and that power? Do you know what setting to look at? Do you know that there's a box there? What's the number? 444. So how?
Is there another HDMI input? This is HDMI 2.
Yeah, there's two. Just now was one. Then nothing come out just now, so I switched to two. So how? Try what? What are you trying to try? Okay, y'all just listen. Anyway, Buddha's time, no projector also. Perfection of giving. In Chinese, we call it 布施波罗蜜. 布施。波罗蜜。So, you all just imagine seeing the screen, okay? Yeah. So, today's topic is actually not just about the perfection of giving. There's a sub, which is making merit. Yeah, making merit. I'm going to just write it down, then we just do the talk, huh? Sometimes things work, sometimes things don't work. Correct? That's life, isn't it? Does everything work in your life all the time? Is everything not working all the time? Sometimes work, sometimes don't work. This is the nature of this world. Yeah. So, are you all familiar with the perfections? Familiar? Are you all not familiar with perfections? Say yes.
Yes.
Familiar or not familiar? Not familiar. Okay, not familiar, then we can have a talk. If you're familiar, then we jump straight to Q&A. Okay, so usually we say there are six perfections. Yeah. 布施、持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定、般若。Yeah, six perfections. These are qualities. If you think about it, the perfection of giving, this is the first one. The perfection of precepts or morality, this is the second. The perfection of patience, forbearance, this is the third. Then perfections of effort, diligence, this is the fourth. Then perfection of concentration, this is the sixth. Perfection of wisdom is the last, number six. Yeah. So, if you think about it, these qualities, these are qualities that all of us have, isn't it? To different degrees. Yeah. So, the term used to translate the term paramita. So, what is paramita? Paramita literally means to cross over, yeah, from one shore to the other shore. In Chinese, we transliterate as Po Lo Mi or Po Lo Mi Tuo, Parami Paramita. So, when we translate, yeah, transliterate means just capture the sound. Then translate, we capture the meaning. Yeah. So when we translate as Tu. You know, 度众生的度, so this 度, is referring to the to liberate sentient beings. Sometimes people write as the 度轮的度, to ferry over, but it has that meaning. In Buddhism, this notion of crossing from this shore to the other shore is about how this shore represents the shore of suffering, of samsara. The other shore, nirvana, no suffering, end of suffering. So, to do that, you need to develop yourself. Yeah, you need to change yourself. So, Buddhism is a kangkor religion. It's a, in a way, very lazy kind of religion. Yeah, very complicated, very difficult, in a way. Yeah, demanding religion, not a convenient religion. Not an easy religion, yeah. It requires you to change. You cannot say just sit down there and wait for Buddha to solve your problem. Although a lot of people go to temple then pray, Namo Guanxin Bosa. Oh, Bobby. My boss. Any of you come with your boss? No. Your boss is not coming back again. Yeah. People go to the temple to pray. Yeah, pray to Buddha, pray to Guanxin Bosa, pray to anybody who is there. for what purpose? To solve their problem. Yeah. Sometimes it's not so bad. Not solve their problem, solve other people's problem. Guan Po Sat, go get Zai, my daughter, my son, like this, like that. My son, hope that my son can find a good job, and hope my daughter can find a good husband, like this, like that. Then later when they find a job, get married, then they say, then continue to go and pray. My son's boss not so nice, hope that the boss quickly transfer out. My daughter's husband, quite stingy, hope that he will change. Yeah. So usually when we so-called prayer, we also want to remove suffering. Yeah. But our usual idea is not to change ourselves. Yeah. Change other people can. Yeah. Cultivate, you cultivate, I don't need. Why must I cultivate? Why must I change? I'm okay what? When we really go into the Dharma, yeah, Dharma refers to the teachings of the Buddha. When we say teachings of Buddha, doesn't mean Guan Xin Bosa don't teach. Doesn't mean Buddha is the one who teach Guan Xin Bosa just sitting down there giving people free gift. Yeah. Actually, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas all give teaching. But they also recognize that some people, they are currently troubled. Hungry lah, stomach hungry lah. Pocket no money lah, like this, a lot of problem. So you need to solve their worldly problem first. Yeah. Some of you may think that doesn't sound like what the Buddha do. Actually, the Buddha do that also. Today we are talking about giving. Did the Buddha do giving? In a way, we can say yes. In a way, we can say no. Yeah. Did you read any sutta where the Buddha set up a charity foundation? Yeah, and then there's an opening ceremony, then he invite MP to come and be guest of honor, then cut the ribbon together. No. The Buddha didn't do any sort of conventional charity the way we think. Yeah, he didn't start some charity center. He didn't even start a hospital. From what I've read, he didn't start a school also. He didn't even build toilet for people. Maybe in the Buddha's time, no toilet. Just go to the bush. But then again, he did give. He did give. And we may think, the Buddha, of course, he gave. He gave Dharma. So when we say giving, there is this kind of giving also. Yeah, giving of Dharma. But the Buddha didn't just do that. There's one sutta where the Buddha, he whenever he wake up in the morning, or in the morning when sun rises and he's preparing to go out on alms, he will observe the world, scan the world, and observe who is capable of realizing the truth. And if you observe this person can realize the truth, he will go out of his way to reach out to him. If you see that there's a person, maybe that person is unable to realize the truth, but is on the verge of doing something very horrendous. Yeah? And there are conditions to help this person turn around. The Buddha will also reach out to such a person. So there's one sutta that describes how the Buddha saw that there was one person, a cowherd. Yeah? A cowherd. This cowherd is capable to realize the truth, to attain enlightenment. So the Buddha went out on his way and then went to look for that person. But when he arrived, the cowherd was outside, was not in. Yeah. What was the cowherd doing? You see, the cowherd's cow went missing. So the cowherd went out to look for the cow. So the Buddha had to wait for him. Yeah. Wait until, I think something like afternoon or something. Yeah. Then the cowherd came back. And when the cowherd arrived, the Buddha didn't jump into giving him Dharma. The Buddha told the people around, give this good man a seat, give him water, wash his feet. If he is hungry, give him some food and drinks. Yeah. Let him settle down. Settle his physical problem first. By letting him, I mean the Buddha can always just manifest in front of him. Why did the Buddha sit down there and wait for him to come back? That's his worldly problem. You must let him solve his worldly problem first. Yeah. Of course, we can also argue and say, how come the Buddha don't use his psychic power, bring the cow back? Yeah, but that's what we always want to do, no? We want to solve all our problems with psychic power, with some special magical spiritual power. Yeah. We have some problem, we come to Sufu, go to Bante. Yeah, Bante, can you help do some blessing? Yeah, look for Sifu. Sifu, can you give me some blessing, do some chanting? And then want the problem to be solved magically. Yeah, we cannot wait, we don't want to wait. Yeah, we want instant solution. Yeah. But the Buddha waited for the man to come. Yeah, interesting. Then after that, let him solve his physical problems. In the teachings, it says that there are three kinds of giving. The giving of material things, the giving of Dharma, and the giving of fearlessness. If we sort these three in terms of the superiority of it, then we can say that it is first and foremost giving of Dharma. Yeah. Then secondly, giving of fearlessness, and then lastly, giving of material things. Yeah. Or if we can also put giving of fearlessness last. Yeah, because it is a combination of giving of Dharma and giving of material things. When you give people material things, in a way it removes fear. Yeah, in a way. But usually we may not think about it this way. Yeah. For example, someone is hungry, yeah, and you give the person something, then it removes that person's hunger. Yeah. In other words, the discomfort. But many times nowadays, do we give food to people when they are hungry? Yes lah. Yeah. Do y'all do food distribution? Do y'all give food to the poor, to the needy? In December, we are organizing food distribution. So you all can go and sign up. Yeah. But on a day-to-day basis, do you all bring food to the office and distribute to your colleagues, thinking that, oh, you're poor thing, no food to eat? Do we do that? We don't do that. Yeah. So sometimes when we give, we don't give because they need it. We give for other intents. For what other intents? We will think about it. We explore. Then there's also the case where we know the person, and we know that this person needs certain things. Yeah, and without that thing, the person is unable to, let's say, do what they want, unable to achieve what they want, and so we give them what they need. And in this way, remove their anxiety, remove their fear, or the lack of material things. But there's another angle to the giving of fearlessness, yeah, which is practicing of the Dharma. Yeah, practicing of the Dharma. When you practice the Dharma, like earlier on, do you all recall? Earlier we recited a lot of verses, yeah. And there's one section right at the start, Panchasila, the five precepts. Did you all recite? Yes, you all recite in front of Buddha, not my problem, you know. Yeah, you all recited Panatipata Viramani Sikapadam Samadhiyami. Yes? I undertake the precept to abstain from killing. You all say that. Did you all say that? Okay, very good. Yeah. So do you all know what is the significance of that? Usually when people think about giving, nobody think about precepts. But actually, every day when you recite these verses and you say, I undertake the training rule, I undertake the precept to abstain from killing, You are giving something. You are giving fearlessness to others. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah, think about it. Most people, when they think about precepts, they think about themselves. Ah, I cannot kill. They think about the precept of not stealing. Ah, I cannot take whatever I want. They think about all the precepts in terms of restrictions on themselves. Yeah. Of course, there's this part. But we must also know, what is these restrictions? Yeah, these restrictions are restrictions on ourselves to prevent ourselves from harming others. It is our decision not to harm others. Ah. So in this way, you give others the gift of fearlessness. How many people do you observe this precept towards? With respect to how many individuals are these precepts spoken? When you say, I undertake the precept to abstain from killing, how many people? How many people do you intend not to kill? How many?
All
precepts, all human beings, all sentient beings, isn't it? Do you think, this week I will put in effort not to kill 5%. The rest, I don't care. Is it like that? No, isn't it? When we say these verses, there's no qualifier on the number. And that means it is towards all sentient beings. What this means is, even those sentient beings that you haven't met, you are making a decision not to kill them, not to harm them. Yeah. Those beings that is too small to be seen, you're also making an effort that where you can, you don't want to kill them, you don't want to harm them. At least not consciously. Unconsciously, sometimes it's a bit tricky. You walk on the floor, then you're just walking and there's just one small ant that from our height, we cannot even see the ant. You're gone. Not to trivialize any living being, but that is a fact of life, isn't it? But consciously, we don't kill. So imagine now you swap roles. Okay, we swap roles. Now swapping role, we are one of those countless sentient beings out there. And now you meet different people. Okay, then among all the beings, then you imagine if you can see. You can see all the sentient beings. Then you will see that there are some sentient beings in this world who somehow decided not to kill anyone. Now, the rest, there are those who decide they want to kill. Then there are those who decide they want to kill some, don't want to kill some. Then there are those who are undecided, sometimes maybe. Now, if you have a choice, and you can read all their intention, who do you want to hang out with? Do you want to hang out with those who will kill? Probably not. Do you want to hang out with those who only kill some people, don't kill some people? If you happen to be belonging to the group that they don't kill, okay lah. You may feel safe. But you must know, if you hang out with those who only kill some people and you happen to be in the group that they don't kill, you must know that their mind can change anytime. Tomorrow maybe you're in that group, in the other group. And how about those who are undecided? Depends. Then we come to the group that they make a conscious decision. Make a conscious decision not to kill. Would you feel safer? The same applies to the remainder of the precepts. And that's why when we practice the perfection of giving, it includes the perfection of precepts also. We are giving the gift of fearlessness. So today's subtopic, so having covered the different categories, giving Dharma I think should be quite straightforward also. When you give the others, the teachings, whether directly or indirectly, then you're helping them to see the truth. Yeah? You're sharing with them the gift of Dharma that can change their life. Mm. And in this way, the benefit is not short term. Yeah? It is long term. Yeah? So, today's subtopic is making merit. Yeah, making merit. Are you okay? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Last time when you come for class, you look very joyful. These days you look... Why? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You're okay, huh? Okay, my smile. Like imagine if I come for class there. Today's topic is perfection of giving. So, giving a smile, that's also a gift. Yeah? Yeah, giving people and making eye contact is also a gift. You know? If you go to the office or you can't go back home, yeah, with your friends and family, yeah, you don't make eye contact with some people. Oh, they will feel So making merit. Do you know what is making merit? Making merit. So the word merit is oftentimes used to describe gongde. Gongde, maybe we can understand. So the word gongde has two parts, gong and de. Mm. The gist of it is merit is value. Yeah. So to make merit means to do something that is of value. Yeah. According to my teacher, when we say gongde, there are two parts. The first part is the action that we take. Yeah, the actions that we take. Then that is the gong part. The third part is the outcome, the virtue, the result, which is wholesome, which is good. So today's topic on perfection of giving, it is described as something that is meritorious. Mm. In Buddhism we say merits is the result of our actions that are wholesome. Yeah, that is, it's driven by wholesome thoughts. Mm. With wholesome intent, we do things that are wholesome, of benefit to others. And this produces a potential for good things to happen, for the experience of happiness and joy in future. Mm. Do you all want happiness and joy? Say yes. Say, must say.
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. I mean, I have to be sure, right? Maybe some of you say, no, Shifu, I don't want to have happiness. Yeah. In Buddhism, we don't force people to be happy. We don't force people to be enlightened also. Yeah. Buddhism is a very free religion. You can do whatever you want. 自作自受. So you must be clear. So if you all want happiness, then we can continue. If you all don't want happiness, then today's talk is not for you. Yeah. So making merit. So in Buddhism, we say that the making of merit sows the seed, build up the condition for future happiness to arise. Yeah, when we say future, it is not just in future life, but it's also in this life. Yeah, but of course, there are many other conditions. Today, we're going to focus only on the merit part. So, when we say make merit, how do you all think about it? Do you all feel comfortable doing good to make merit?
Yes.
Yes, I thought you all would say no. Yeah, because there are some students who say, Sifu, if I do charity, I shouldn't be doing it just to make merit. That seems quite selfish. Yeah. In fact, just a few days ago, some students just mentioned that to me. Yeah. So this is something that we have shared before. Do you all remember the three columns? So what is this thing about the three columns? I have students tell me, if I'm going to do charity with the mindset, oh, I do charity, then I get married, then I might as well not do. If I want to do, I should do charity without selfish intention. That means I just do charity purely to benefit others. I don't care about my own merit. Yeah. Have you heard of people saying this? So this is where I say this is a false comparison. Why? Because now, if you can follow me, the first category is where a person, for merit or not, they refuse to do charity. They refuse to do giving. They refuse to help people. Okay, this is the first category. Second category, knowing that doing charity, helping people is good, that it produces result, they are willing to do. This is the second category, the category that many people criticize. And then there's the third category where if you are able to, with a purity of heart, you do purely to benefit sentient beings, purely to benefit others, not for without a single thought for yourself. Okay, so far so good. Three categories. Now, if you compare the third and the second category, which is more superior? Quite naturally, isn't it? The third category is more superior. So people compare in this way, and so forsake the second category. Yeah, make sense? Yeah, we should always do things to the best, isn't it? But is it easy to do in the third category? Maybe not so easy for some people. For some people, they are able to do it, fine and good. But for some people, they are still not able to do it. And if we compare in this way, they end up not doing anything, because they can't do it to perfection. And since comparing with number two is inferior, they don't want to do it also. Then they end up doing number one. What is number one? Just don't do. This is a false comparison, because compared to number one, number two is still superior, isn't it? It's okay, don't be sorry. Answer your phone, come back later. He looked a bit troubled, that guy. Yes. Adit? Yeah, we are defining it this way. So when students ask me, they say that it feels very strange. Why should I be thinking of getting any results for doing something good? So there was a student who asked me recently. She told me that she wants to become a nun. So I told her, okay, maybe do some preparation. So she said, so a few days later, she told me, "Wow, Sifu Jialat, after I told you that I want to become a nun, I immediately fall sick." So then she said, "So, is it like what people say? When you say you want to do something good, then bad things happen to you." So I told her, "Well, there are a lot of different possibilities. One could be you are stressed up by the lofty goal. So mentally you become stressed, then physically you become unwell. Or because maybe you are now having exams, so you are stressed, so you become unwell." But there's a third category. In Buddhism, we say if you want to embark on the path of monastic life, it is the path towards liberation. you do need some merit to go with it. Yeah. It is like if you want to go on a journey, you need to prepare some resources. The merits are the resources. Yeah. So having heard that, then you say, oh, okay, makes sense. Okay, so what should she do? So I advise her on some practices. Then later she come back and she's like, but feels a bit strange. For me to accumulate do all these things just to accumulate merit for me to be able to go and become a nun. Then that's still quite selfish. I'm just doing it for myself. So I asked her, I said, so don't you study so that you can pass your exams? Don't you eat so that you will not be hungry? Don't you sleep at night so that you refresh the next day? But we don't feel anything bad about all those things. That's normal. That's the right thing. If the more you eat, the hungrier you become, then something is wrong in this world. If the more you sleep, the more tired you become. I mean, sometimes it happens. When you sleep beyond the correct amount. Yeah. But if you sleep adequately, you should recuperate. Yeah. So this is causality. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with expecting the correct outcome, isn't it? So the trouble is when we think in terms of charity and we compare with the act of giving without any so-called selfish intent, then it seems like it's wrong. Then it seems like it's wrong. It's not wrong. Yeah. What's wrong if you don't is if you don't do anything at all? You have a question behind.
Yeah, thank you. I was curious to know the other perspective. If it says I do on behalf of my departed loved ones and brothers and cows and fathers of giving. How do you categorize this in like dana and generosity? Is it selfish? Like a purpose.
And your question is whether this is selfish. I don't think it's selfish. I don't think it's selfish.
So under which criteria?
Under which? 2.5. To be more accurate, it's 2.63 actually. So 2.5 satisfied. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why are we overly concerned with whether people think we are selfish or not? If we are concerned about that, then that's selfishness also. So we should just be concerned with helping people. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that helping people produces good. As to what you do with the good outcome, that's your choice, ma. That's your choice. Cultivators consciously choose to do things that produces good, knowing that it produces good. They don't just say, I don't want to choose anyhow, this one also can, anything also can. So that I do without any of that thought. No. Cultivators, they do consciously those things that benefit others and produce good results in the future. Why is that not selfish? It's not selfish because until you are enlightened, you do need to ensure that your rebirth is suitable so that you can cultivate. If you don't have enough merits, you will end up in some deplorable states where, Ni Pu Sa Kuo Jiang Zi Sen Nan Bao. Where if you are in a dire state, then you end up becoming a liability and not an asset to people. So nothing wrong with wanting to cultivate merits. The question is what you do with their merits. Do you cultivate, do you do charity, do you help people hoping to get merits so that you can enjoy yourself in future, just yourself? Then that's very selfish. But cultivators do the same thing but with a different intent. They hope that they can get more merits in future so that they can help more people with that merits. So nothing wrong with that. You have a
so in regards to helping others,
yes,
what if they are unwilling to accept the help?
Yes. So do we just want to help or do we want to let them get help? If we change the help into advice, then it becomes clearer. Do you want to just give advice or do you want to let them have the chance to receive help? Sometimes we only want to say what we want to say. But we may have to consider whether the other person is ready to listen. So this is summarized in one line. After all these years, I realized that if you see a fat man, don't tell the fat man to slim down, unless the fat man think that he's too fat. And want to slim down. And want to ask you to advise him. And even then, you should give it sparingly. Yeah.
So can I give an example? Let's say we are doing volunteering and we want to help this elderly who is living in a very bad condition, but the elderly is so used to living in that condition and he or she doesn't want help. But all of us agrees that if we change the condition, then he or she will live a better life, but instead become more distressed because the whole house is not in the same condition as it was. And in the end, he or she blames those ones that are giving help to change a better environment. So in this instance, we should not help.
So there's the objective reality and the subjective perception. Yeah. For example, if we go to the elderly's house and we help to clean up some of the stains, some of the dirt, that's different from doing a Marie Kondo. You know Marie Kondo? Yeah. That's different from going in and say, "Aiya, auntie, you keep, or uncle, you keep so much things, we throw for you, we throw for you." Yeah. It's a bit different. Granted, sometimes when we go to some of these homes or these houses, some of them have this psychological issue of being a hoarder. You see, removing all those things remove the symptom of a hoarder. It doesn't solve the problem of the hoarder. Yeah. The trouble is, we may not be equipped to help the whole process. Yeah. From what I've read, people hoard to give them security, a sense of security, of certainty. Hoarders are on the extreme end of the spectrum. In a way, we are all hoarders, but to different degrees. Yeah. We hold on to our things. Think about all the clothes we have at home. How many of the... Do we really go through all our clothes and wear all of them? No, isn't it? Yeah, but we just keep them. Yeah? Look at all the things in our house beyond our clothes. We keep them anyway. So because most people keep that amount, so we are not hoarders. Because they keep more than us, they are hoarders. Huh? Yeah. So imagine some monk with only 3 pieces of ropes and 1 bowl come to your house. They're like, "Oh yeah, you are suffering. You have so much things. Let me help you throw away your things." Yeah. And then when you come back from work, what do you do? Huh? You